Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, thine the glory. Hallelujah, amen. Hallelujah, thine the glory. Revive us again. Most gracious and most heavenly Father, it is in Jesus' name that we come with a grateful heart and an attitude of gratitude and praise and thanksgiving to your holy and to your righteous name. Father God, as we come on this morning, we come confessing every sin of omission and commission and anywhere that we have come short of your praise, your honor, and all of your glory. Thank you for another day. We embrace the gifts of this brand new day, Father. We welcome it. We thank you for it, Father, an humble submission. We believe, we receive, we say thank you, and now we surrender all things back over unto you. Father, have your way. You're the potter, and we are the clay. Mold us and make us after your will while we are waiting, while we are yielded, and while we are still. Thank you, Father. How great is our God, how great is our God, how great, how great, how great, how great is our God. Thank you for the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Father. We thank you for the longevity. We thank you, Father God, for where we've been, where we are, and where we're going. We thank you, Father God, for your anointing and your empowerment upon us, Father, to do the impossible. We bless you. And we say thank you, thank you, thank you, over and over. Bless our services on today, Father, where in you and you alone will get the glory. You and you and you alone will receive all the honor and all of the praise. And that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our hearts will be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength, O Lord, our Redeemer. And as you taught your disciples to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the glory, and the power, both now and forevermore. And our soul says amen, amen, and amen. We will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in our mouths. We'd like to say top of the morning to you, to you, to you, and to you. Welcome back to the Life Word Jesus Kingdom Ministries, Mentoring Kingdom Leadership with Jesus Christ as King and Lord. I am your host and your kingdom coach on this morning, Apostle Dr. Alfreda. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. Woke up this morning with my mind stayed on the Lord. So we want to thank God for the waking up. And we got up, amen, and we woke up with a mind, amen, and we woke up with that same mind, stayed on that same Jesus, amen, hallelujah, Jesus Christ is Lord, and every knee is going to bow, and every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is King, and Jesus Christ, he is Lord. We welcome all of our first-time listeners around the globe. Thank you for being here with us, amen. Have a seat, amen, at the table, amen, and we give God praise, glory, and honor, amen. Today, amen, glory be to God, hallelujah, I'm being led to do something a little bit different today, amen, glory be to God, amen, and in my studies, glory be to God, sometimes I run, well, not sometimes, mostly all the time, amen, I run across good information, good teachings, amen, that other people are teaching, amen, glory be to God, amen. You definitely can't teach anyone if you're not able to be taught good readings, amen. I have I have a vast library, amen. I have many books, many books, amen. I'm telling you, I could just, you know, cabin in and read. You get so much from reading. And not only that, the Bible tells us, amen, that we get so much from hearing, amen, because faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God, amen. So that hearing Amen, beloved, which means we hear it over and over and over and over and over. Amen. Glory be to God. Yesterday, amen, we shared, amen, with some good information, good teaching, amen. We played Dr. Charles Stanley, amen, on what it means to believe, what it means to believe. Same information that we've been sharing here that we share on this platform every day, but sometimes it's good to have somebody come and give it to you from a different angle, and you could see something, amen, that you hadn't been able to see before. There's a lot of people say they are saved and they believe in Jesus, but what does it mean to believe? See, so you have to answer that question to make sure that you're truly saved. Now, beloved, amen, today we want to go a little bit deeper. Amen. I have another, amen, teaching, amen, that I'd like to share with you, beloved. Amen. For those of you who are not saved, for those of you who refuse to get saved, glory be to God, and those of you who playing like you're saved. Amen. And so we want to share this teaching with you on today. And this is a recording, amen, that I was able to copy off of our brother Sid Roth. A lot of you may know him from Christian television, amen, and he has a talk show where he comes on every day, a couple times a day, different channels, and he interviews different people and their supernatural experiences, amen. And so here we have this today. All right, so let us hear. Amen. It's approximately 20 minutes long. Amen. And this is our teaching for this morning.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world where it's naturally supernatural. Heaven, hell, these are natural things. They're not fantasy, but you decide for yourself. I want to introduce you to my guest, Mary Catherine Baxter, because in April of 1976 at 2 a.m. in the morning, you had a surprise guest. Tell me what happened.
Well, I was in prayer, and Jesus Christ appeared to me in a human form. There was a brilliant light came into my bedroom, and when the light cleared up, there stood Jesus. And he said, I've appeared to you for a reason and a purpose, that I may take you on a journey and show you the depths, the degrees, the levels, and torments of hell. He said, it's for the whole world, it's not for a handful of people, and explained to me how ahead of me would be horrors and sorrows and grief, because he would actually talk to some of the dead in hell, and I would have to record it.
Now, when you visited hell, was there a point where you experienced what people there are experiencing to a degree?
Yes, I did.
Tell me about that.
Did I do that twice? It was like the 20th night into hell. I went to hell every night, 3 hours a night, for 30 nights.
And 30 nights? You must have been wishing this thing was over.
Oh, yes, yes. And
now, now, we can treat it lightly right now because it's back in 1976.
Yeah.
However, I've noticed that you really don't even like talking about it that much, do you?
No. Uh-uh.
Why?
Because it bothers me because of people that go to hell, they're lost, and there's no more hope for them.
Okay, first of all, where is hell located?
In the middle of the earth, and it's in the shape of a human body, and it's on its back. And there's different levels, different degrees, different fires of torment.
How does someone enter hell?
Through a gateway. There's gateways called tunnels.
Like.
They're kind of like tunnels or tornadoes, and they spin around and back again in the atmosphere, and they're hooked to the earth. And they call them tunnels, but Jesus calls them gateways to hell. And that's when they die and they rejected God. They actually descend down this gateway into hell.
Okay. Now, back to that original question I asked you about what it feels like to be in hell as a person that is separated from God.
Well, it was on about the 20th night, and the Lord told me, he said, you may not see me, but I'm here. He said, there's something you have to go through for this revelation, because you've got to know that you know that you know that this is real, like John the Revelator, he said. And when he said that, he was gone. I couldn't see him. And an evil presence, an evil demon, they came over and they touched me, and they said, your Jesus has left you. And when they did, it was like a million razor blades went through my body. And I was in the spirit form, but I had all my senses, you know, and my body was at home on the bed. And I understood everything. I understood why people were in hell, the moans and the screams of the dead. And then another demon came up, and they said, we're going to put you in this compartment, and Jesus has left you. And they were laughing and mocking. And I was put in an area where the fire was racing towards my feet, in a jail cell, and Sid, it burned. I could actually feel it burning me, and I was in the spirit. And it was burning my legs, and it was burning up my legs. I was screaming and screaming. And I said, Jesus, where are you? And I began to quote the word of the Lord. And as I did that, the demons would scream, and they would back up. And I'd say, the blood of Jesus, I'm redeemed, I'm saved, what am I doing here? Because it was like I was a lost sinner. It really was. And then,
now, from what you've told me, you were able to feel.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness,
what,
yes.
What were you able to smell?
The smell of stench, of sewers, smell of burning rotten flesh. The air was so thin you could hardly breathe. And the awful part is the cries of the dead, the moans and the groans of the regret because they missed Jesus. And demons remind them that they could have had Jesus. They could have been born again and been saved from eternity, damnation.
Could you tell me one person you spoke with there and what they said, or that Jesus spoke with and what they said?
Jesus spoke to many, but the main one that really was coming to mind was a woman, okay? She used to be a minister of God's Word, okay, and her husband committed adultery. He fell from grace, and so he went to her and told him that he had been tempted and did the sin. Would she forgive him? And she told him no. And he went to the pastor and he asked the pastor. They all forgave him and prayed for him because he was tempted of the devil. And the woman got very angry and she said, here I am preaching God's word and I'm so holy and he's so sinful. But what happened, she quit reading her Bible, she quit praying, and she eventually let Satan enter her heart with hatred and malice. And she took a gun and she killed the other woman and she killed her husband and she killed herself. She ended up in hell. And the affair had ended a long time ago, but she had such bitterness to it that Jesus spoke to her. He said, you should have lived what you preached. You should have forgiven. You should have understood. That's what Jesus told her. And he said, instead you yielded to the devil and sin entered into your heart, hatred and sin. That's what he told her.
Let me ask you this. When he was escorting you through hell, did some of the people try to talk to him?
Oh, yeah.
And what, tell me some of that dialogue.
Okay, many of them would. And they were in different nations, okay, different languages. But he understood all of them. And when people go to hell, see, it's a whatever lifetime of sin they committed. If they were liars, they're put with liars. If they were
so there's like categories.
Yeah, like in the Galatians, the book of Galatians, the 17 works of the flesh. If they were murderers, they're put with murderers. And as Christ would walk, they would reach their bony hands up because they were skeletons full of dead man's bones. They'd have hair, flesh, blood, or organs. But they could talk, they could turn, and they would scream and they'd say, put the fires out. Don't let us burn anymore. And they would cry for repentance, some, but some would curse the Lord. Some would scream at him and say, why didn't my neighbor warn me? Why didn't they take me to church? And you would hear the cries of the multitude.
Is there any reversal? I mean, would someone that is committed to hell, can they ever get out of hell?
Absolutely not.
We'll be back in a moment. This is fascinating because when people die, they go to one of two places. They go to heaven or they go to hell. Mary Catherine Baxter went to both places. So you have a little preview of what to expect. Don't go away. We'll be right back. Hello, Sid Roth here with Mary Catherine Baxter. And Mary Catherine, you had an encounter that Jesus put you through for a reason. You went to hell for 30 nights.
Yes.
Why did he do this?
For the purpose to win the lost and to let them know and prepare them for the coming of the Lord.
Most people don't believe in a literal hell anymore.
Oh, I know. Yes.
Tell me some of the worst things you saw in hell.
Some of the worst things. There were two very, very dramatic. There was the vats of fire. There was fire like on the 15th night. The angel of the Lord even was in the presence there, but Jesus was with me. And there was a place where people, souls that just died on earth came, and they were thrown into liquid boiling fire mixed with hot lava. And this was the judgment of God upon the abominables, people that taught false doctrine to people, people that lied and deliberately blasphemed God, that knew better. And then the other
So there's different degrees of punishment,
yes,
even.
Yes. And then there was a river that flowed all through the beginning of my journey. It was like maybe 6 feet wide and so deep, and flames came up like 10 feet. And in it was chained together skeletons by the thousands. And the word of God was written in the fires, lovers of their own flesh more than God's commandments. Men loving men and women loving women. And all through the fire.
Were there, just out of curiosity, were there special sections then for people who are lesbians or homosexuals?
It was in this area, in the fires. Hmm. They were chained with a black chain, Sid, that they went through the current of fire all through hell at like 60 to 80 miles an hour.
And how painful do you think this
was? Well,
their
bones were charred red, and they would scream and scream, saying, no man cares for my soul. And they would say, warn the people not to come here. And most of the people in hell would scream that, tell my family not to come to hell. Tell them to accept the Messiah as their Savior. That's what they would say. They cry and no one cares, you know, and they'll curse each other. And it's horrible. And there's another section of the heart of hell that's bad. The heart of hell is for hypocrites and backbiters. It's a real heart, big as a football field, and it's got snake skin on it. And it beats like a real heart. And in it is put people that are hypocrites, backbiters, that really hurt the churches, hurt the pastors, even hurt programs that are real like yours. And they get warnings and warnings and warnings on the earth, but they don't stop.
Well, the greatest warning in the world is to repent. If they don't repent, mm-hmm, then it's too late. The best thing in the world is for someone to be warned of sin,
yeah,
and then repent from that sin. What we're talking about isn't fantasy. You know, you grew up most of your life watching television, and you just think all these things are fantasy. Mary Catherine Baxter, will you look in the camera and tell people how real hell is?
Hell is very, very real. There's no escape once you get there. You're turned over to your tormentors. While you're on the earth, you need to repent and turn unto God. But when you're down there, that you cry for mercy, there's no mercy. Those demons in hell are so evil, and they will even touch you, like I said before, like thousands of razor blades go through your body. And also there's worms that bore on your bones, and that's out of Ezekiel about the worms. And the cries of the dead, Sid, are so awful. They moan, they regret, wishing they'd listen to a preacher, wishing they'd read their Bible, wishing they'd give their life to the Lord Jesus so they wouldn't be in this place. And there's no more hope, no more destiny. And then they know it. They know the minute they descend in these gateways down to hell that they miss God. And they became, like one preacher said, they become a believer. They believe in the Bible.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Tell me some real people that you heard their story.
Okay, there was quite a few talking to Jesus. They always talked to Jesus. And there was a man, really, he was really tall. His skeleton was tall, and he had a make-believe Bible in his hand. It was on fire. And he was preaching the word of the Lord in hell, and demons were stabbing him. They were telling him to shut up, that Satan was their God and all that. And I began to listen to him, and I turned to Jesus, and Jesus was in the human form, Sid, by the way. He was always in the human form. He actually cried in hell. Tears would come down his face. And
because from my understanding, you're reading Scripture, hell was not designed for humans.
That's
right. It
was
designed for demons and the devil.
That's right.
And so you're saying that, and, you know, they say God can do anything, but once someone has ended up in hell, he can't get them out.
Well, that's why Christ was crying. He said, I shed my blood that they would not come here. And you know, God is a righteous God, and he has to judge righteously.
So what did you hear them say?
They said, they were talking, this man was talking, okay, preaching. And Christ said to him, "Peace be still, O man." And he turned his whole carcass towards the Lord, and he said, "Lord, I repent now to you. I'll do the right thing now, Lord, if you'll just let me." He called him Lord out of hell and give me back my body. He said, "I know you can do this." He said, "I won't be prejudiced anymore." He said, "I won't lie anymore." He said, "I won't steal from the church anymore." And he said, "I was a preacher of your word, and sin entered into my heart, and I yield my life to the devil, and I compromised." He said, "I compromised you. And I did wicked things." And he said, "Lord, I've been here many years and I cannot die." He was judged, you know, burning in hell.
Tell me another person.
Okay, there was another person. There was like on one side of the belly of hell. You know, belly of hell was 3 miles around, 17 miles high. There was a whole a bunch of people back over there moaning and groaning and screaming, their skeletons. And one man in particular was screaming. And we went over to him, and Christ said, "Peace, be still." He was in hell, and he had a skeleton form. He had real blood on his hands. And Jesus said, "The blood of many is upon your hands." Because he used to serve the Lord, and he used to teach about the Holy Spirit. He had the Holy Spirit. And then he quit teaching, and the Holy Spirit left him, and he because of his sin, said. The man began to sin against God, serving God. He was serving God. That's in Ezekiel, you know, the righteous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you see the sword coming, you have to warn the people. But he wouldn't do that. He would compromise. He wanted money more than God's commandments. And he told God. They talked, him and Jesus talked. And he said that when you begin to open seminars against the Holy Spirit is when the judgment come up on you. He said if you judged yourself, you would not be here if you had repented. It's always about repentance.
The good news is you're still alive and you can decide where you're going to spend forever. Don't go away. I want to find about her 10-day trip to heaven. We'll
That's
be right
good.
Back.
That's what I like to talk.
Hello, Sid Roth here with Mary Catherine Baxter, and we're talking about her 30 nights. Each night, Jesus took her on a guided tour of hell. And one of the things I find fascinating is the whole subject about the blood of Messiah. But this was brought up in hell. Tell me about it.
Jesus would stress about his blood to these souls that was lost. He would say, if you'd only believe the gospel, if you'd only believe that my blood was shed to wash away any sin you ever committed, I would have done it if you'd only repented and called upon me. He stressed that all through hell. And he means just what he says, that it was his blood that was shed on Calvary. If we would believe that he's the Son of God, that he came to wash away our sins, and he would stress that. He said, you wouldn't be in hell if you'd only believed.
Tell me, and unfortunately, most people that have not ended their life that are listening to me right now don't understand how powerful the blood of the King
Hallelujah.
Of the Jews, the Messiah of Israel, is Yeshua, Jesus, the Messiah.
Hallelujah.
And you that are mocking right now, you're not going to get the last laugh. You're not going to. Don't you mock. Mary Catherine Baxter, tell me an exact example of when you have pleaded the blood, or tell me something about the blood of Jesus.
I was praying for this person that was choking. And I went and laid hands upon him, began to plead the blood of Jesus, and I believe in the covenant of Jesus Christ. As we began to pray, all of that immediately left because it was a spirit that had attacked them. And another one, the child had a high fever. We covered him with prayer and the blood of Jesus. And the spirit of the power of God came on me, and I rebuked it, and it instantly broke through the blood of Jesus.
If we could just see in the invisible world
yes.
that when we plead the blood,
it actually happens.
Everything that the
yes.
blood has accomplished. When you say it actually
yes.
happens, what do you mean?
Okay, we was in a church sit where angels were standing as we were praying. Excuse me, singing the song, The Bloodline. As we seen it, I seen a line, an angel standing and holding a large line of the blood. It was called the bloodline, all around the church, all around the people. And at times when we plead the blood, I actually see a shield of red come down over that person. And they begin to get healed. They begin to get delivered. And if there's a cancer in their body, sometimes God lets me see it, the red goes on the dark spot and burns out the cancer.
Now, I promised you we'd find out about heaven. So for 30 nights she went to hell, but the next 10 nights she went to heaven. I have to ask you a question.
Okay.
Do young people stay young, like little infants, when they get to heaven, or do they grow up?
They grow up.
Give me an example.
Okay. Well, children grow up in heaven to the age of maturity. They're called the innocent, okay? And the other scripture said is when... suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God. And they go to school in heaven. They're taught by the redeemed, and they're taught by angels.
Did you see any children in heaven?
Oh, yeah. I saw families.
That you knew?
No, I didn't know them, but I saw many children.
Okay. What about adults that are, say, 90 when they die and go to heaven? Are they kind of decrepit? Are they walking around with canes?
Oh, no. See, God gives them a glorified body, a brand new body. And they usually look about 33 years old. If they die 100, when the angels get done with them and take them before God, they look 33 years old.
What was the music like at heaven?
It was different praises, different types of levels of music. There was a piano 40 feet across. There was a trumpet 35 feet long. And different types of music now. Like we had the Italian band in the Bible. I saw people dancing and spinning to the sound like Italian music. There was Jewish music too in heaven, all kinds of music.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
And
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
You saw in vision and when you went to heaven, these books that were accumulated in this golden room.
Yes.
Tell me about that.
Well, okay, there's archives in heaven, rooms that... of books. Okay, first, I've seen several rooms, but one room in particular I feel like sharing was where God has books he wants to bring down and give people to write, books from heaven.
Hmm.
Yes, he wants to give them revelation knowledge. And then there was other books of prophecies. There was books
of
prayer.
Well, that reminds me of someone I interviewed that heard songs in heaven, and then many years later heard those same songs being released for the first time on earth.
Yes.
So you're saying with books, it's the same way. They're books to be released from heaven.
Yes, and there's also anointing oils to be released.
What does that mean?
There's like vials of oil up there in a certain
room.
For
healing and miracles?
It's for, and certain ministers, too. God will send the angels to anoint us more sometimes.
But you were telling me in some of these books, they had records of the prayers.
Yes,
and
prophecies. And also there was a group of angels that God sends, and he calls them the Northern Army. And see, they're very big, big angels, 30 foot high. They have huge wings. They have a face like you wouldn't believe of determination. And they have a sword on their side bigger than a man with flames comes out of it. Their stallions that they're on are so high and 4 foot across in the back. When the prayers of the saints come up to God, and they come in, they go to the record room, then they come before the throne. The Lord opens up the prayer book and smoke comes out of it and perfume. And the Lord speaks, and his voice is like many waters. He tells them, go to earth and answer her prayers. Go to earth and answer her prayer. And when the book is open, the pages come out and go in the writer's hands. And they gallop to earth to answer our prayers. They do warfare for us.
You know, I wish I had seen heaven while I'm here.
I loved heaven.
And I don't want to see hell. Ever, but in a way I almost feel I want to, because I want to have that same compassion you have. When you see someone that rejects Jesus, what do you feel?
It hurts, but most, I will tell you the truth, Sid, most places I go, everywhere I go, they hear the story and they want to be saved. They want Christ in their heart. And once you get to talk, their little hearts just melt. Because they really don't want to go to this place. So I rarely meet anybody that doesn't want to be saved. Rare.
What about you? The Jewish prophet Daniel says in the 12th chapter of the book of Daniel, those that are buried in the dust, some shall rise to everlasting life. Mary Catherine, that's the heaven.
Right.
That's heaven. Everlasting means no chance of reversal. Some shall rise to everlasting life, and some to everlasting condemnation.
Yes.
So, in effect, once someone dies, they can't change their mind because of that word everlasting that is there. So some people say, huh, this earth right here, this is hell. No. If you think this earth is hell compared to hell, this earth is heaven. Would you agree, Mary Catherine?
I agree.
So Choose, because you don't know when your end's going to come. Choose right now. Everlasting life or everlasting condemnation. Heaven or hell. Life with God, life separated from God forever. The only chance of reversal is now. Why do I say now? Because you don't know how long you're going to live. Choose life. Why will you die, O house of Israel? Believe that Jesus died in your place for your sins. Ask him to forgive you and then make him your Lord by saying, Jesus, I make you my Lord. Or Jesus help, that'll do.
Amen, saints. Amen. And I don't know why the Lord is taking me this way. I don't know why the Lord is taking me this way, beloved. Amen. Yesterday, amen, to make sure, amen, that we truly believe, that we know what it means to believe in Christ, that we have accepted the person of Christ, beloved. And then now today, amen, to share with us, amen, that, hallelujah, the reality of hell. Hell is a real place. Hell is a real place for anybody who does not know Jesus Christ and the pardon of their sins, anybody that is playing with God, anybody that is a hypocrite, anybody that is a liar, anybody, amen, that has separated themselves, amen, from, amen, God's provisions. I don't know who I'm talking to. I don't know if you're in Philadelphia. I don't know if you're in Africa. I don't know if you're in Canada. I don't know if you're in Jamaica. I don't know where you're called, who I'm talking to. But beloved, amen, hallelujah, today is the day to make a decision. Amen. Either you is or you ain't, your tears or your taint, beloved. As Sid Roth, amen, just said, you do not know how many more days you have. You do not know how many more hours you have. What you do in secret is coming out. God knows who you are behind closed doors. God knows what's in your heart. He knows the things that you do in secret. And some people don't even care. It's not even a secret anymore. Beloved, you're going to be judged. And once you leave this earth, whatever is in your heart is what you take into eternity. This is why the Lord says, he that is filthy, let him be filthy still. He that is righteous, let him be righteous still. You can't change your mind once you depart this life without Jesus. You can't pray nobody out of hell. Everybody in hell, beloved, would get out of there if they had an opportunity. There's no way out. It is a place of eternal damnation, burning and weeping and crying and regrets. You're going to wish that you had heeded to the message of your pastor, of this ministry that's been laboring every day for 13 years. Most of you have been here, look, one day, 2 days, some of you are here every day. Glory be to God. You are going to be held accountable for the God's word, amen, beloved, that you hear. He tells us to be not hearers only, but doers. Oh, you're going to be held accountable. And you don't want to miss heaven. You don't want to miss because you refuse to turn to Jesus while you had time. You refuse to confess your sin and tortured in hell, remembering the words that Apostle Bradford. Yeah, you didn't want to listen. Yeah, you was halfway sleeping. Yeah, you was telling her to shut up. And any other person, amen, pleading, amen, the word of God, those words are coming back to you. You must make Jesus your choice. You cannot be playing church. You got to bring that flesh under subjection. You got to bring that mind into conform, to be not conformed, but transformed. You must go through the transforming and the renewing of your mind that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, or Jesus Christ is not Lord at all. Heaven is real and hell is real, and it's nothing in between. You're going to one or two places. Let me say this, because the message have already come forth. Your body dies. Your flesh dies. But the real you, your soul, is eternal. And you're going to be somewhere. I remember my mother, amen, preached a sermon once. She said, people laughing, talking about Jesus not real. She said, I'd rather take a chance on him not being real than to miss him and slip into the abyss. Hell is so terrible that hell was not even created for man. But that's where you going if you don't hatch on to Jesus, his grace, his mercy? Beloved, and the devil has us in such a grip. A lot of people say, well, I don't believe in Jesus. Yeah, well, that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. I don't believe it takes all that. Right, that's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. I can still commit fornication and adultery. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. Get your, come on, it's your thing. Do what you want to do. I ain't got to give God no money. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. It's just only a little lie. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. I can hold this unforgiveness in my heart. That's exactly what the devil wants you to believe. That's exactly you right where he wants you. And if we would just soften our hearts, the Bible says if we would confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Everybody in hell right now, if they had only turned to Jesus before they took their last breath, I don't care if your name was Hitler. I don't care if your name was Judas. I don't care what your name is, what you have done, if they had just turned to Jesus before they took their last breath and asked God to forgive them. He would not have said no. The only thing that causes God to say no is when we blaspheme against the Holy Ghost. And guess what? He will even forgive you for that when you blaspheme and didn't know that you blasphemed. Sometimes we blaspheme out of ignorance. I am pleading this morning. And y'all know the Lord has not taken this ministry the way it has taken us yesterday and today. Never have I brought in, I brought in Dr. Charles Stanley on yesterday to make sure that you are saved. And here we brought in, glory be to God, Sid Roth today, beloved, to let you know you think you playing, but you ain't playing. You're playing yourself. Three people die every 2 seconds. Time as you count the one, two, three people just die. You don't have to be sick to die. People are dying, amen, from heart failure, heart attacks, strokes, aneurysms. All you need is a vein in your belly to pop on your way to the bathroom. And we playing with God with secret sins in our hearts, thinking God don't know. Baby, there's a book being recorded. There is a book. The Bible says every deed that we do is recorded. Every word that we speak is recorded. Everything that we do, that's why we're going to be rewarded. And I'm crying out today. I'm crying out. Please make Jesus your choice. He ain't that fine, baby, to send you to hell. He ain't that fine. I remember, glory be to God, a couple years ago, I had a pursuer. Amen. And you know how these men are. Amen. Glory be to God. Call themselves saved. Amen. You know what I mean? They think it's okay to commit a sexual sin and still go to heaven. I don't know what, you know, that's in that mind. And the devil has warped the minds of our men. And he was trying to get me to go to bed. He was trying to get me to have sex with him. Glory be to God without, amen, marriage. And I turned around to him and looked him straight in his eyes and said, are you trying to send me to hell? Backed him up. Some of you need to back some folks up right now. It ain't worth it, baby. It ain't worth it. So whoever you are, I don't care how old you are. I don't care where you live. I don't care what you've done. I'm crying out today. I'm crying out because I may be talking to somebody today and this might be your last day. If we know you, we might get a telephone call that you didn't make it. I don't know why it's so heavy on me. I don't know. I'm talking to somebody that needs this word today. You've been dipping and dabbing. You've been dipping and dabbing, baby. Let me tell you, glory be to God, you're going to have to pay the piper. Come to Jesus. Come on. Come on. Come to Jesus. Ain't nothing worth it. What shall it profit a man to gain the whole wide world and lose his soul? So what if you hit the $1 billion lottery? So what? That money can't keep you out of hell. If you don't have Jesus in your heart. So what if you got a pretty car and live in a pretty house? And wear pretty clothes and got pretty children. So what? If you in who's who of America, Fortune 500, you're a celebrity. So what if you're a household name? So what if everybody's reading your books and singing your songs? So what? So what? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Life is short. Eternity is forever. And if you have never received Jesus, just come today, right now where you're at. You don't have to wait for nothing else to happen. Just accept Jesus in your heart. Ask Jesus to come in. Amen. Glory be to God as you enter into a personal relationship with the person of Jesus Christ. That's all you got to do. And for those of you who have gotten lukewarm, you too busy for God right now. Isn't it amazing? We got time for everything else. Working 40, 50 hours a week. Huh? 25 hours on social media. Huh? 10 hours in the mall. Yeah, y'all know what I'm talking about. We got time for everything but Jesus. 15 hours a week watching television. We got time for everything when it comes time to Jesus. Amen. We lukewarm, Satan. Tell the truth. You lost your first love. Come on back. Take me back. Hallelujah. Take me back then, Lord, to the place where I first received you. Take me back. Take me back, dear Lord, where I first believed. Only what we do for Christ will last. It's your choice, but the consequences belong to God. It's your choice. It's your choice. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. I've decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. No turning back. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, we thank you for the word today. We thank you for the word. Father, the act of backsliding begins, Father God, in our before it manifests in our actions, Father God, it's a decision. It's a decision, Father God, where we have actually stopped following you. We still going to church, but we ain't following you. We still trying to say a little prayer here and there, but we ain't following you. Because we're getting cold, Father, complacent, mediocre. Oh, Father God, take us back. Take us back, Father God. Give us our zeal again. Give us our fire again. Baptize us in the Holy Ghost. Help us to tell sin no. Oh, Father God, greater is he that lives within us than he that lives within the world. Help us to fall in love with you again, Father, that we might be a soul winner, that other people would want to know you, Father God, through the life that we live. In Jesus' name. And Father, for those who have said yes to you this morning, we pray for them. We pray, Father, that you will give them a hunger and a thirst after righteousness, that they will hook up with a good pastor, Father God, a good spiritual leader, a good ministry such as the Life Word Jesus Kingdom ministry, and get taught, Father God, hallelujah, and walk in your precepts, for the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we say thank you and we bless you. Thank you, Father, that we have escaped the damnation of hell. We don't have to experience hell. We are not going to hell, but we don't want nobody to go. Father God, give us our compassion back for people. Help us to witness. Help us to testify. Help us to stop trying to send people to hell, Father God, and encourage them why they need to make Jesus their choice. Father, in Jesus' name. And we say thank you over, 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 and over again. Now, Father God, as we move forward today, Father God, we ask that you would order our steps. Help us not to be in the right place at the wrong time. Cancel bad news, cancel tears, cancel sorrow, cancel premature death, accidents, incidents, and calamities. Father, slip and fall accidents, witchcraft, voodoo, sorcery, it will not take root. It will not prosper, and it will not come to pass. We bind absolutely every spirit of retaliation in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the precious Holy Ghost. And we seal this prayer, this service, Father, by the word, by the blood, by the spirit. And we cast it at the feet of Jesus to decree and declare and declare and decree that it cannot, it will not, and it shall not be broken. Now unto him who is able to keep you from falling and to present your faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forevermore. And the church said, amen, 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 amen. And Satan is defeated. Darkness is dispelled. And Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Pastor Alfreda, signing out. Please do not transition this earth with Jesus not being in the center of your heart. That's what you call being in the wrong place at the wrong time. God bless you.
For the joy of knowing you, we worship you alone in this place.